The Shawamigan Bay Area Fishing Report starts now.
Good morning, top of the morning to you. It's Real Rock J96. Trevor Ray here with you. I'm here till 10 o'clock. Joining me this morning, as he does each and every Tuesday morning, Scott Breading with River Rock Inn and Bait Shop. Good morning, Scott. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Trevor. What a beautiful day in Asheville, Wisconsin, with a nice sunny morning, and it's finally getting warm out. I mean, it's actually above 50 degrees this morning. I mean, unbelievable. Last week, we had, upper 30s, and it's above, what do we have, 50?
It is 57.
57 today.
57 right now is what I have here at the radio station.
Wow, heat wave. Talking about temperatures, that's one thing that we need to get fish active is temperature changes, and that's what we're going to talk about today a little bit. As we get into our show is, what we're looking for is temperature changes getting out there on the water. And what gets fish active this time of year is temperature changes. But, boy, what a beautiful day. And we had, a little bit of rain this past week, kind of settling things down. It's been predicted rain just about every day, and we didn't get any of it here on Shawamigan Bay. So that was kind of good. We need to settle things down a little bit with the wet spring that we had, so which was kind of a relief for us. We don't need much moisture. We need it in little bites, not in buckets. So it's kind of nice to have that little bit of relief, and it is going to help our fishing. And so it's nice to get that relief. And we got a little bit of moisture yesterday morning to help green things up, keep the grass growing, and help the gardens coming along. And it was kind of nice for that. And this warmer weather, and we're going to get a little bit of heat coming in the middle of the week, which is going to help bringing up those temperatures. 80 degrees might be a little bit of a shock for us up here. People thinking 80 degrees if you're from down south is still not hot. But for us up here, that's a heat wave.
Well, I'm wearing a jacket still. I'm still wearing jackets into work every morning, and it's still cool outside. But if we get 80 degrees, things are going to really pop. We're going to have summer. It's going to be summer up here.
Hey, Trevor, I almost put my shorts on this morning and was going to wear flip-flops this morning, because when it hits 60... you'll see me coming into the show in the morning with shorts and flip-flops on.
You're full summer.
That's full summer attire for me. And that's what I'll wear into work. Tell you the truth, Trevor, for 25 years, I wore a suit and tie to work. So I'm entitled, I think.
You're cutting loose now. You're done with that kind of stuff.
I'm done with a tie. I'm done with wearing a... steel-toed dress shoes to work and a tie. Flip-flops and shorts is my attire for the rest of my life, I hope.
Flip-flop shorts and talking fishing every morning.
Exactly.
That's not bad. That's not a bad way to go. That's not a bad way to spend your summer.
Summer and winter, let's talk fishing. So, guys have been out this last week, guys and gals coming in, and telling me some great stories out on the bay, and the inland lakes have been just doing phenomenal. It has been just a cycle of up and down, though. This wind has been swirling around from being out of the northeast to being out of the south. You can go out in the morning and be just comfortable as could be, and by midday you're gonna have to put the parka back on, and that's just living here in the Northwoods. And unfortunately, the fish, they can sense that also, and they feel that pressure change, and it mixes things up and shuts the fish off, and within a couple hours they're back on. So it's been that way fishing. Talking to the guides, it's been tough some days, It's been a couple days. I'm talking to a few of the guys that been out there, and they're pulling their hair out when they think they should be out there catching fish, and they're frustrated, moving around, switching things up, changing bait, changing tackle, changing location. And there's nothing they can throw at them. Fish got lockjaw on them. But you know what it is? It's the bug hatch is coming on now. Water temperature's warming up, and the bugs in the water are starting to hatch, and we're going to start seeing some of those coming off. Unfortunately, the end of June here, it's going to be a little uncomfortable outside. We're going to see a lot of mosquitoes. We're going to see some flies, and you're going to be competing with that when you're out there fishing too. So, you know, it's just going to be a little more of a challenge to get the fish to open up and grab onto that hook. So presentation is going to be a big thing, moving around, fishing different depths. But the key is going to be temperature changes. If you are going to get out there to find fish, the fish are going to be hanging out looking for temperature changes. And if you can find a temperature change in water, you're going to find fish that are going to be active. If you can find a 4 to 5 degree temperature change on surface temperature, you're going to find active fish. And that's where there's going to be an active bug hatch, and you're also going to find an active fish feeding frenzy, and those fish are going to be in that area. So move into that area and, you know, present some different tackle, and you'll find fish in there. Guys that are been out trolling have found the color changes, mixing it up, and they have been able to get on to some good catches. They haven't had to go real deep yet for the browns or for the cohos. Lake trout, they've been able to get out a little further offshore and still finding fish up on top. Have not had to go very deep, but you can still go out into the South Channel and find fish deep. There's fish out there all the time in the South Channel, deep. The lake trout are always out there, fishing deep, and we're out there all the time, trolling. There's just good numbers of fish out there, so we've been out there trolling, catching lake trout, and it's been a real good season so far. And we've seen a lot of boats out there, a lot of people catching a lot of fish out in South Channel. Muskie fishing, getting very active. The fish are moving into their summer feeding patterns. The weeds are starting to come up. So we're seeing a lot of nice stories of muskie. I'm not a thousand cast kind of guy. I'm afraid to start that because I probably would get hooked on something like that, but I don't need another hobby. But the guys that are throwing the musky baits are giving good reports of some nice catches. Jeff Evans last week talked on the show about one of his young clients having his first muskie, and Jeff was talking that you know, he had some good success. I had guys in the shop this week that had a great trip with some new clients that they were down in Nemecagon and had a real fun time with some new guys that hadn't muskie fished before, had some nice upper 40 inch fish right by the boat. They had, figure eighted close to the boat. They got good visual never got them to hook up, but they blame that on some little bit of amateur mistakes. But, you know, a lot of excitement when you get a fish that close to the boat and they're looking at the bait.
It's fun when those muskies come up and you're doing the figure eight in the water and you're trying to do anything you can. You're over the top of the boat and you're putting the rig down and trying to anything to get that bait to look appealing to that muskie. And that thing is 50 inches swimming right there. That's the most exciting fishing I've ever had.
And I'll tell you, you talk to some of the guides and they do everything to try to keep their clients in the boat because some of them want to jump in after them. They said, like, get the net. I said, first you got to do is get the hook in them before you get the net. So, you know, they always tell the stories about the first thing the client says is get the net. Well, you know, you got to coach them to get the hook in them first. You know?
Well, and that's those muskies. They'll come and they'll follow that thing. They'll sit there. They'll sit underneath your boat for hours on end. But getting those things to bite on that little, if you're throwing a bucktail, whatever you have in the water, that's the hardest part.
Yeah, and you know, some of the guides, they even sit there and they say, hey, look at that muskie down there. He's winking at you. You know, they kind of laugh at it when that muskie's sitting there just looking up from the bottom. And that's the beauty of some of our lakes up here. They're so clear. You can look over the side of the boat and you can see those big fish looking back up at you. Kind of fun.
Well, and you were saying the Namekagon, is that probably the most known musky lake around here?
You know, we got some fantastic musky lakes. We got the Pike Chain, Namekagon, Lake Owen, over in Bayfield County. And then we got down in Iron County, we got, there's several down there, Pine. I just can't think of some of the lakes over there, but... there's several over there. Nate Barron from Up North Guide Service, he'll take you over there. There's quite a few local guides go over that way too. Quite a few different lakes in the area. Then down Hayward, Jeff Evans will take you down that way. Nelson Lake and. I just can't think of some of the lakes down that way. There's several, and the Flowages that have muskie in them. So there's quite a few lakes that have some nice muskies in them.
And that's muskie fishing is, if you haven't been a muskie fisherman and you pick it up, you're hooked for life.
Oh, yeah. It's the guys that get into it, they're crazy about it. And well, this fall we'll get a few of those muskie guys on the show and talk about it. We'll get a few of the guys that fish them, that not just guide for them, but the guys that just fish them. We'll get them on the show and talk about it. And these guys, it's just an hour long show. They want to be on here for 2-3 hours just talking.
Well, they
about
can talk about the ones that got away for 2-3 hours.
Oh yeah,
how many that came up?
Yeah,
but we got to take a quick break, and we have. Who do we have coming up here in a second?
Yeah, we got Tommy Hicks. He's going to talk a little bit. He's up fishing with Larry Smith. Larry Smith Outdoors. They were jigging for lake trout and spike out on the islands. And Tommy's going to talk a little bit about that. So it's kind of interesting. They were out jigging for trout in the islands during the summer. And that kind of neat. They did a show for that, filming a show out in the islands. And that was kind of pretty cool. So we get Tommy to talk a little bit about that, and he'll be talking about a lot of it. Tommy's been out trolling quite a bit lately, so we'll get Tommy to talk about catching browns and lake trout and some of his spring salmon fishing, and give us an update of what's going on out there with trolling on the out in the islands.
Sounds good to me. We'll be back here on the Schwamigan Bay Fishing Report here in just a few minutes. Welcome back to the Schwamigan Bay Fishing Report. We have Tommy Hicks joining us now with Beyond the Catch Guide Service. Good morning, Tommy. How are you doing this Tuesday morning?
Good morning, Trevor. It's a beautiful day here at Port Superior Marina, that's for sure.
You made it all the way up to Port Superior this morning?
Yep, this is where we keep the boat. We're just getting uncovered and getting set for the morning. I got a group coming in at 7, so we're going to go out and play, and looks like a little bit of south winds today.
And what's the catch? What are you looking for today?
We're going a little deeper now some days for the lake trout, but there's still plenty of fish up on top. We're still getting cohos, brown trout, and a couple of steelhead mixed in.
Boy, that sounds great, Thomas. How you doing?
Good, Doc. How you doing?
Good, good. So you're not going very far out now, are you?
A little bit of both. I've been going a ways out in some of the islands fishing near shore. A lot of the lake trout are feeding on them stickleback minnows. And we're getting some nice browns and cohos out there. But today I'm just going to go out in the South Channel with these, looks like some pretty good south winds coming. Probably work a little bit towards the flats. There's a lot of lake trout going out there on bottom and up on top. But we're still getting browns and cohos and a couple of steelhead mixed in with them.
Yeah, you don't have to go very deep right now, but I mean that's the beauty of that South Channel is you can go right on the bottom, be consistent and catch fish, but you can kind of mix it up, can't you?
Yeah, and that's one thing when you got clients who want that consistency, and that's definitely a good area for that. But it's nice with these cold temps that we've had. Looks like it's about to change. You mentioned shorts and flip flops, and that's what I'm wearing today. First day on the boat with that, so that's kind of nice.
But, yeah, I was telling Trevor that this morning. I says, I almost put my flip flops on this morning.
I did bring pants with me, just in case.
Well, that's just it with this weather. You just don't know. You know, you bring the parka, or do you bring the shorts? You just don't know.
I always keep a snowsuit in the boat, just in case.
Yeah, what the weather changes.
That's right, especially with the temps on the water. You know, even I was out by Elder yesterday, and on the surface, you're still 48 degrees out there. That's, you know, when the wind's blowing anywhere out of the north, that's like blowing off an ice cube at you.
Yeah.
That's cooling down.
There's no snow on the beach out there anymore, is there?
I know. It's been about a week since I've seen that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying there's none anywhere, but where I've been looking, there was none.
Yeah, yeah.
Tommy, we have 80-degree weather coming up here by the end of the week. How's that going to affect things?
It'll take a little bit of time. But if we get the calm winds, you know, when we get the west wind, it blows water, that surface water out of here. But if it's calm or a light north wind and it stays 80 degrees for a week, it'll push some of the fish deeper. It might make some of the browns and salmon turn off a little bit. Some of them salmon might start heading a little further north. But there's still enough around now. I would say it's going to take a solid week of that before it changes it very much because that water is pretty cool. It's probably the coldest I've seen it for almost July now.
What is it at? Where's the water temperature sitting?
It's about 50, well, you get by Long Island or in the South Channel there, you're getting to 56, 57 degrees, but out in the islands, you're high 40s to low 50s.
So once you get closer to that big water, it gets cooled fast.
Yep. And then the wind has a lot to do with that, too. It can blow the surface temps out. These hard south winds, that's going to blow some of that out of here, and it's even going to cool it down out there before it warms up.
You seeing good clear water out there?
Yeah, it's very clear. You'll get a lot of that pollen slicks here and there, but mainly real clear.
You haven't seen any dirt from all this rain that we had? I guess we didn't have a lot of rain, but a little bit of rain this weekend?
No, not where I've been. I'm not sure. I've been so busy between fishing and keeping track of my one-year-old, I haven't been talking to too many guys in the bay. But I don't know really what the conditions are in there, but as far as out in the islands and even out to the South Channel and the flats, it's been pretty good.
Have you done any walleye fishing in the bay?
I did. It must have been almost a week and a half ago now. Dad's been out a fair amount of mornings. It was really good and consistent, and now, like you said, this last week has been pretty spotty. Not exactly sure what happened. A lot of guys haven't been able to track down the walleye as good. They're still getting a few, but it was really good up until then. I don't know if they're shutting down or some of them moved out a little further in the bay and they're starting to get in some of the new weed beds.
Well, there's been a lot of bait fish been hatching too. You know, they get a lot of those spot-tailed trainers been in there spawning, so they've been feeding on those too.
Yeah, and you mentioned bugs. You know, a lot of the fish I'm catching on top, whether it's lake trout, browns, or cohos, they are just packed with the bug hatches.
Does that change how you go after the fish, the bug hatch?
I always try to keep some lines up top. You know, a lot of them lake trout at night, they'll come up and feed on them bugs that are dying throughout the night, and you can catch them on their way down in the mornings. So it's always nice to have a few lines suspended. We do a lot of fish on dipsy divers. Some of my big fish come on dipsy divers, you know, down 30 to 50 feet, even if you're in 100, 150 feet.
So you're catching some of those big ones. You're just fishing right in the top third of the water column.
Yeah, my biggest fish have come in the top third. even in deep water.
And is that an all summer thing, or is that just with this bug hatch happening?
No, I do it all summer because you got suspended herring that are always cruising at them depths as well. So some of them big fish, they stay up high and feed on them bigger bait fish.
Yeah, because they've been up there feeding at night, you know, and they've been engorged in those, you know, bait fish, and they're just too full to go deep.
I believe that there is a strain of lake trout that does not go deep. You can tell a lot of them fish you catch that are suspended or in that upper half that are really dark skin, almost black skin, and you won't catch them on bottom. Yeah. You know, and a lot of them, they'll have bugs stuck right in their gill plate just because that's what they've been feeding on mainly.
Yeah, and they're pretty fish, too.
Yeah, very. And they fight hard, real hard.
What else have you been catching? What else are you going for out there?
Well, that's been about it. Yesterday was one of the good days of the year. We couldn't really do anything wrong. We were trying to look for more browns and salmon after we got our 12 lake trout in 20 feet of water out in the islands. I bet you we released 20, 25 fish that were really nice fish. We ended up getting a few nice browns and a couple nice salmon and lost some. They're hard to get in sometimes. But it was definitely a big number day. It was fun. We didn't go, I don't know, 5-10 minutes without something going on. Yeah.
Now, you did a show a couple weeks ago with Larry Smith, and you were jigging off the side of the boat catching some nice lake. I saw that on TV the other day or on YouTube. Tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, we started trolling, just like I was doing yesterday. Because it's such a big area, you can't, you know, we tried a couple days just jigging, and you're kind of shooting in the dark, you know, unless it's areas you know where they're at. But that day, we did a little trolling. We kind of pinpointed a couple groups of fish. And then we stopped, and we pitched, they were actually bait rig fin fins with paddle tails, rubber paddle tails on them. And we pitched them into the shorelines, and we were popping them off them rocks. And what a ball. That was something I haven't done. We've always talked about wanting to do it, and we finally just did it. And it was a good time. We had fun.
So you were jigging them almost like walleye fishing, weren't you?
Yep. Not as much vertical as we were pitching them, you know, and we were going all the way into 10 feet of water, passing as far as you can, giving that, you know, 3 to 5 seconds till it hit down to the bottom, and then we were giving it like two pumps and cranking and two pumps and trying to make them chase that bait up, you know. After the second pump, that bait's getting 3-4 feet off bottom, and they just as you went to drop it back down, they'd smoke that thing. And you could watch the line shoot right from the side. It was good.
Could you actually see the fish out there too when you were sight fishing them or not?
We had fish follow just like muskie, but some of the fish that we caught, I think, like I'd see one follow my bait, and maybe it wouldn't hit right for the boat, and then Larry'd be coming in with one, and my dad would be, and they'd smoke that one.
That sounds like a great time. Is that something that you're going to be able to do midsummer, or is that something spring fishing?
I would say it's going to be a little more spring and fall. You could still do it now, if, you know, like where I was yesterday, maybe a little bit deeper than we were. But up until that water gets to that mid-50s, I think you could do it.
Is jigging like that? Is that not normally something that happens out there?
Not many people do it because it's such a big area. You know, trolling, when you get clients in the boat and you got limited time, you want to put fish in the boat. And to consistently always be able to go out and pitch jigs and do it would be pretty tough. But if you had a day to do it where you could do a little trolling and then jigging, we're going to offer a lot more of that starting this fall and next year. We've got a couple smaller boats we can run, two out of these big charter boats. That's a little tough. But it's definitely a direction we're gonna do some more trips that way.
So if you were on the fish, though, so if I just went out this weekend and if I found fish and I was sitting on the fish, I could just jig them just like a walleye.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I try to replicate the hatch, is like I always say, and, you know, a lot of people say that fish don't eat them stickleback minnows, but everything I'm cleaning right now is full of them. So you want to stick with that smaller profile. So even trolling, we've been using shorter shads and little countdowns, you know, some smaller baits to replicate that stickleback minnow, and they've been working really well. Small spoons. But then as you go deep, then they're biting more on the smelt, yeah. Especially in the salt channel and out towards the flats, then I'm trying to replicate that, so you're going to stuff a little bit longer.
So you're seeing a lot of clouds of smelt still out there, right?
Yeah. And as you get to some of them deep mud flats, you don't mark as many smelt because I think they spread out and they're feeding on the sediments, like out of that bad river.
Sure.
So they're pretty tight to bottom, but all of them fish are full of them. I mean, they'll have 5 to 15 of them in their gut. So they got plenty of bait fish out there.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So are you still using all bait fish then? Are you still using live bait to catch them?
No, not live bait. Just stuff to replicate it. You know, it's more of an instinct bite, so we're using, you know, spoons, some flashes and spinning glows and flies, but I haven't had as much luck on them as I have just the spoon bite. There's still a little bit of color in the water, even though it looks really clear on the South Channel side, so I'm keeping a lot of gold into the baits. Gold, orange, gold and green, depending on the day.
And so those are the colors, gold and green, golds?
Yeah, golds are good. They have been the last couple of years ever since we've had all this runoff. Even though it looks kind of clear, there's still a little more color in that water than you think.
Yep, good.
Well, Tommy, I think we got to let you go. You get out there, go catch some fish. What's the best way for people to find you if they want to fish with you with Beyond the Catch Guide Service?
Yeah, you can give us a call at 715-292-4342. Find us on the web at www.beyondthecatch.com, or you can always hit us up on Facebook, Beyond the Catch Guide Service.
Tommy, good luck today. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great day.
Hey, thanks, Tom.
Coming up tonight, Scott, we were talking a little bit during the break, but tonight there's kind of a big meeting locally here at the WITC on Beezer Avenue.
Yeah, tonight we got, you know, coming tonight, the DNR has a meeting at WITC at 6 o'clock. WITC's at, it's on Beezer Avenue, across from the hospital. WITC is the technical college in Ashland, and they're going to present tonight the new employees with the DNR that are responsible for the 10-year agreement that the DNR wrote and agreed with the local commercial fishermen and the local tribes, Bad River and Red Cliff, for commercial fishing. And the DNR also have in it what is going to be the agreement for Lake Superior, what will rule for fishing of the sport fishermen. Whether you agree with it or not, show up to the meeting and listen to what they have to say.
Well, let's take a quick step back. So tonight they're presenting the agreement. What is the agreement between all parties that the DNR was able to broker?
Well, it's a complex, complicated agreement. So it'd take me hours to explain the whole thing. And every 10 years, they're supposed to have an agreement between the DNR and the tribes, and that also encompasses the DNR then includes the state commercial fishermen of what quota they can take for fish from the Great Lakes or from Lake Superior, and what the state sport fishermen can take from Lake Superior for quotas. And that agreement then is between all, between the DNR and the two tribes. The sportsmen are not represented in this agreement. The DNR represents the sportsmen. The commercial fishermen are represented by the DNR also. They don't have a voice in it except for from the DNR. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I have an opinion of that, as do a lot of the state commercial guys. Come to the meeting and listen to what's going on. But the big thing is these aren't elected officials. These the people that will be there tonight, for the most part, are employees of the state. They're employees of the DNR. They're not people that are elected. So the people that made this agreement were not elected officials. So if you don't like what they did, you need to talk to your elected officials and find out why this agreement was agreed to the way it was.
And this agreement that was made is all about the quotas of fish being caught, the pounds of fish being taken out of the lake, and the ways that they can be caught, ways they can be taken from the lake.
Correct. So the agreement is written in the point of exactly that. What kind of gear can be used to take the fish? So, for instance, there used to be net-free area for sport fishing only. South Channel, from the tip of Long Island to Madeline Island, completely to the along Madeline Island to the Michigan border, along Long Island, completely South Channel was sport fishing only, and a fish refuge. There was no nets allowed in there for several years. That was a fish refuge and sport fishing only. Now they're allowing netting in that area. And now some of the netting is gill netting, which is indiscriminate netting. Gill nets do not, you don't let fish go from a gill net. Once you pull up a gill net, the fish that are caught in those gill nets are typically dead. Very few fish come out of a gill net alive. Unlike a trap net, where trap net, if you don't like what fish are in a trap net, it's a big pond or big cage, and when you pull up the cage, certain size fish that are in there, if they're, or certain types of fish that are in there, you can let them go and throw them back to let them grow, or let, you know, there are certain species that are in there, if they're bass or northern or other types of fish, sturgeon or whatever, they're not dead when they're caught in a pond net or in a trap net. They're let go to grow, unlike a gill net. So gill nets are not allowed in that South Channel area because of the agreement that was written. The DNR only agreed to allow gill nets in this area that they agreed to now. So
this agreement that was made, the night's the meeting, but as of right now, you've probably flipped through this more than I have, and you've probably studied it a little bit. But what kind of things are sports fishermen going to have to keep an eye out for now? Are there going to be changes to limits out on the bay? Is there going to be changes to seasons, anything like that?
There's changes to limits. There's changes to seasons. There's a new whitefish season where they're going to commercially fish whitefish. That was not allowed previously, where they're going to catch whitefish commercially in the South Channel, in the approach to the bay. There's going to be some netting done that wasn't allowed in the past. In the fall, there's going to be some more netting allowed in the islands that was not allowed previously. So the agreement's pretty complex. There's a lot of information in it. It's kind of unfortunate that that this agreement came the way it did, because it didn't have a lot of input from the sport fishermen. Sport fishermen were not involved in a lot of the discussion with this. They weren't allowed to be in the discussion, even though the DNR does at times contradict some of that. I've been involved in some of the previous discussions. There was no discussion about this agreement and any of the proposals that they have had in this, where they've added netting. And some of the key netting areas that they've added are areas where the high traffic areas, high traffic for boating, summer pleasure boating, along Long Island, where there's huge traffic area during the summer. I just hope there's not going to be a lot of netting in those areas. And areas where there's not a lot of key targeted commercial fishing for whitefish, for instance, which is the targeted commercial fish that they want to target. They want a net for commercial reasons, where it's a huge sport fishing area for browns, bass, and walleye. They want to put in some commercial nets. Doesn't make sense to us as sport fishermen. And they want to put nets in there. This does not make sense why they would want to do that.
So this arrangement, is this arrangement for just the Shawamigan Bay area, or is this a Lake Wisconsin Lake Superior
deal? This is a near shore fishing area that we think should have been addressed more broadly as near shore sport fishing agreement, and looked at more to why do you want to encroach more into the sport fishing area and more towards safety. Why do you want to put nets in where sport fishermen have been for years around the Coast Guard dock in the spring and near the tip of Long Island? There's very few good near shore fishing areas, and it just doesn't make sense. But come to the meeting, listen, meet these people. They're not elected officials, they're employees of the state, but there are the people that made some of these agreements, and you need to come to the meetings, listen to what they have to say. But their boss or their employer are the elected officials, the senators and the governor of the state, that appoint the secretary of the DNR, that have hired their bosses. And those are the people that should be held accountable for making these agreements. And those are the people that have hired or appointed these people to make these agreements. And those are the people that should be held accountable for it.
Bottom line, it's new policy, and it's going to be implemented. Do you know when it's going to be implemented out onto the bay?
Unfortunately, it's implemented now as an emergency rule, and it is going to come into full effect in August. So in August, the DNR board is going to approve this as a full implemented agreement in August. There may be some chance to change some of it and change some of the implementation of it, but for all in all, without some major changes or major stance against it, it's pretty much in effect now.
And it won't change if people don't know about it, and it won't change unless you make your voice heard. And the first way to do that is to go to the meeting tonight at WITC. It's on Beezer Avenue. It's right by the high school, right by the hospital in town. What time is the meeting at tonight, Scott?
6 o'clock. And come there with a clear head. Come there. Don't come there being argumentative. Don't come there to be, anti-everything. Come there and listen. And come there and come there with questions. Don't come there with a closed mind, or don't say my voice means nothing. Come there, and after the meeting. We'll tell you how to make a change if you pay attention. The Apostle Island Sport Fishing Group, our Facebook page, we'll publish how to write a letter to the state and make a difference of who to contact to make a change, at least make a complaint. If we keep complaining about it, we can at least make some changes to the future and make it better. If we don't put a voice into it to make a change, it's going to be just continue to be more changes to our nearshore fishing. And we'd like to see at least keep the nearshore fishing open to net-free areas. You know, the commercial guys have a right out there to fishing too, but we should have some safe areas for nearshore fishing, nearshore boating, nearshore kayaking, and other safe things going on for safe boating.
So that's tonight. It's at WITC. Come on out, whether you agree with it or disagree with it. It doesn't matter. Just come on out with a clear mind, clear head, and just listen to us, see what the DNR has to say about this agreement. And if there are problems or if you do have questions about that, they can always find you, Scott. They can always bring up their questions tonight at the meeting. And then if they want to go further and try to write a letter, they can always find you. And you can help them along with that.
And like I said, over down at River Rock Inn and Bait Shop, or on our, you know, we got a great club, the Apostle Island Sports Fishing Group. We got a great Facebook page. Get onto that, and you know, L House keeps that page up. He does a great job on that, and we'll keep people posted on what's going on with keeping people abreast of what's going on with our sport fishing.
Perfect. Scott, thank you so much for coming out. What's the best way for people to get to find you at River Rock Inn and Bait Shop?
You know, 1200 West Lakeshore Drive, or give us a call down at River Rock at 715-682-3232.
Scott, thank you so much for coming tonight, or to this morning.
This morning. Trevor, it's 6 o'clock in the morning.
I've been up
all night. Baby's keeping you up, is
it's
he?
It's been a tough couple of days. Scott, thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
All right, thank you.